Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 18th day of September, 2018, just after the day called Yom Kippur, according to your host reckoning of the biblical schedule. Based on the sighting of the new moon and the blowing of the shofar, arguably the most solemn and important day of the year for those of us who understand what's going on and, more importantly, why and what we need to do about it. So let's talk about that and take a look back at a week where it's now beyond any shadow of a doubt that the formerly free United States, and indeed most of the once free world, is committing what ought to be called insanicide. And in a week filled to overflowing with high treason, genocide, mass murder, and wannabe dictators run amok, let's start with this story, which certainly isn't the most important, nor is it even the most shocking, but it might be the most representative of just how far down the toilet bowl the United States has already swirled. It comes from the U.S. southern border with Mexico, near Del Rio, Texas, where there's a bridge that Big Brother is working hard to try and make sure you are unaware of. But we do have the story, courtesy of the Epoch Times, and aggregators like Zero Hedge and the Gateway Pundit, as well as a couple of Republican U.S. senators. Where photos taken by drones, and a whole lot of interested bystanders, show literally thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants accumulating in recent days. So what does the Fourth Reich do, as if you didn't already know? The United States Federal Aviation Administration, say the stories, has now imposed a no-fly zone for unmanned aircraft systems flying over that South Texas bridge after photos emerged showing what was really going on there. Said the Biden regime Border Patrol, sick, because they don't really seem to patrol the border other than to just hand out welcome mats and explain why it is they don't have to take the poke, like ordinary American actual citizens are being forced to. Anyway, no, grounding all of the drones so that you can't see what's going on has nothing to do with news gathering. They requested the temporary flight restrictions, quote, due to drones interfering with law enforcement flights on the border, unquote. And wait a second, if that was true, wouldn't it be an amazing and pleasant surprise? Except it's not like they're actually doing anything. But Republican Senator John Kennedy of South Carolina said on Friday that the FAA's grounding of all drones near the Texas bridge is fulfilling the obvious Biden regime goal to hide what he called the lunacy of their open border policy. Quote, I believe that the reason they're limiting drone usage is because they don't want the American public to know, he said, and I think this is illegal, he told Fox and Friends. So your increasingly cynical host has to ask the question, since when did illegal mean a darn thing in Biden's regime America? Unless, of course, it's you refusing to take the poke. That is illegal und verboten, and we will force you at gunpoint, seems to be the bottom line there. As for anything they do, well, by definition, nothing the king can do is illegal. And don't you even ask about it, much less photograph it. Fox News also says they've been banned from flying over the area, too, while the Valverde County Sheriff Joe Frank Martinez confirmed that at least 9,000 illegal immigrants, including Haitians, Cubans, and Venezuelan nationals, and who knows what else from the Middle East and other OTMs, were in the area. The FAA issued the notice on September the 16th, claiming that the temporary flight restrictions were in place to prevent all unmanned aircraft, read drones, from flying over the area until September 30th, citing, get this, special security reasons. And by the way, in case you're curious, estimates say at least 6,000 illegal immigrants are already gathered under the bridge, waiting to come across and get their freebies, while another 20,000 are said to be on the way. Meanwhile, in the wake of the Biden regime's absolutely unconstitutional, tyrannical order saying, Achtung, you do not own your business, we do, und if you have more than 100 employees, se will take the poke, or else, and he's ordering all kinds of tyrannical measures to help enforce that, in spite of actual decent governors, local sheriffs, and others saying, hell no, we won't comply. But this week, House Democrats voted unanimously to reject vaccine mandates for illegal aliens, because some animals really are more equal than others. And there are also credible reports, several of them your host has seen, suggesting that Afghan terrorists are imports loaded on planes and ferried over here from that debacle in preference to actual American citizens who are still being held hostage to the tune of who knows how many hundreds or even thousands. Well, evidently, not only are the imported Afghans not being required to take the poke, but they're being given ivermectin that Americans are being lied to about instead. Does anybody out there who doesn't drink the Communist News Network Kool-Aid still believe that any of this has anything to do with health or your protection in any way, shape, or form? Although you can certainly make a pretty good case that it does have to do with child abuse, where things like wearing masks not only stunt the child's social development, but probably their brain function as well, due to increased carbon dioxide and decreased oxygen in the bloodstream. And we already know they're lying about that. Science, too. So this is a bit surprising, courtesy of Jack Phillips of the Epoch Times. The Centers for Death and Coercion, a.k.a. the CDC, have actually, I hope you're sitting down for this one, warned about what they call an alarming increase in child obesity during their plandemic. Children and teenagers in the United States are now admitting saw their body mass index, or BMI, increase at almost double the normal rate during the COVID-1984 plandemic, suggesting, say some, that the idiotic, asinine, counterproductive, and downright tyrannical, I put those words in there if you hadn't already guessed, COVID-1984 lockdowns and rules may have contributed, gee, do you think, to the higher than usual weight gain. And this, folks, is on top of an already increasingly obese youth population, which begs the question, why would they even admit it? To which your host actually does, sadly, have a suggested answer. They're planning on poking all of these young kids, and no doubt many of them are going to die of heart attacks, blood clots, various type of strokes and infarctions that shouldn't infect people so young. And what do you bet they're going to blame it on their being fat instead of the Zyklon B poke? From there, let's move on to some of the arguably most important stories of the week. And again, that's a difficult call given the level of insanity, but certainly treason rises to the top. So let's start with this week's treason update. And incredibly enough, there are actually so many vying for that top spot, but arguably General Ho Chi Minh takes it by a nose, or a nuke, and may very well have lined his pockets very nicely in the process, too. Yeah, you heard that right. The man who still hasn't been fired, much less tried for treason. And remember, folks, this actually came out earlier in the week. So if this had been a Trump administration official, like, for example, General Michael Flynn, who was forced out for things that are literally trivial by comparison and turned out to be basically bogus besides, the leftist press would have thrown up all over their shoes by now and reloaded. And, of course, there would be half a dozen or so articles of impeachment against the president to boot. But this is literally light years beyond any of that. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Marxist Milley. And yeah, that's the same guy you may recall who facilitated the transfer of billions of dollars worth of U.S. military hardware directly to terrorist enemies of the United States, but arguably not so much the deep state, during the botched Afghanistan pullout and handover to the communist Chinese. But he engaged before that in a top secret mission to undermine then President Trump's ability to order military strikes or launch nuclear weapons against the communist Chinese, especially following the January 6th false flag in the Capitol. According to a new book called Peril, written by Bob Woodward and the Washington Post national political editor Robert Costa. Trying later to soft-pedal the treason, America's communist traitor leading the Joint Chiefs said the same guy who just ordered a botched drone strike and killed the wrong people, an innocent family of civilians in Afghanistan, quote, "You never know what a president's trigger point is." Unquote. And maybe he meant, yeah, if he finds out what we've been doing to him behind his back and that we helped undermine an election and make sure he doesn't have actual control of the military, would that trigger him? Among other traitorous acts, during the final days of the Trump administration, at least the final days according to what they had planned, Milley had what were called two, quote, back-channel phone calls with China's top general, during which he reportedly told the communist Chinese that he would warn them if the United States was going to attack. Quote, "General Lee," he said, "you and I have known each other now for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time, and it's not going to be a surprise," unquote. So in other words, you can launch on warning, and the only people that'll really be surprised are a whole bunch of very, very soon to be dead Americans. Said the book, one of those calls took place on October 30th, 2020, 4 days before the election that unseated President Trump, the rigged election, your host notes, and no doubt they were aware of it too, and the other on January the 8th, 2021, 2 days after that false flag capital siege carried out by supporters in an unsuccessful attempt to urge the Congress to do the right thing. Says Peril, quote, "The first call was prompted by Milley's review of intelligence, suggesting the Chinese believed the United States was preparing to attack. Could it be," your host interjects, "because the Chinese knew that there was a risk that Trump might be on to what was going on and somehow or other thwart their plans to install their puppet in the Oval Office?"
Well, that's not what the authors claim. That belief, they write, was based on tensions over military exercises in the South China Sea and deepened by Trump's belligerent rhetoric toward China. Said the traitor is American General Ho Chi Minh. General Lee, I want to assure you that the American government is stable. Full stop, folks. That seems to mean we have things under control. Don't worry, the plan is going off as intended, and this election is rigged no matter what. Anyway, I want to assure you, he said the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We're not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you, unquote. No, the operations were conducted against the American people, the Constitution, and the duly elected president. In the second call, made after the January 6th false flag, the book claims Milley agreed with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, there's a shocker, folks, that Trump was, quote, unstable. Yeah, he might just do something to try to save the republic, like maybe purge the traitors in the military. And he made assurances to the communist Chinese that nothing would happen. Quote, we are 100% steady. Everything's fine. But democracy, sick, can be sloppy sometimes. Maybe that means sometimes you have to do a little wet work. Continued the authors, Lee remained rattled, and Milley, who did not relay the conversation to Trump, there's a shocker, folks, according to the book, understood why. The chairman, 62 at the time and chosen by Trump in 2018, probably one of the worst mistakes in his lifetime, believed the president had suffered a mental decline. Well, folks, he could decline about 300% more and still be way ahead of the senile diaper-faced one. What a crock of you-know-what. After the election, wrote the authors, a view that he communicated to House Speaker for the Traitors, Nancy Pelosi, Socialist of California, in a phone call on January the 8th. He agreed with her evaluation that Trump was unstable. Yeah, who knows what he might do to try to save the nation, according to the call transcript obtained by the authors. But the comment here from the transcript via the dementia-ridden Nancy Pelosi is even more rattling. Quote, what I'm saying to you is that if they couldn't even stop him from an assault on the Capitol, who even knows what else he may do? And is there anybody in charge at the White House who was doing anything but kissing his fat butt all over this? Unquote. Notice we haven't heard her commenting likewise about the senile Biden-Fuhrer, have we? What a lying, stinking hypocrite. But wait. You know he's crazy, she continued. He's been crazy for a long time. And undoubtedly, who better to judge than the nutcase herself? Responded the traitorous Marxist Milley, Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything. Unquote. And yeah, that's why we're committing this act of treason. But there's more, far more. Let's go to the Communist News Network first for their soft peddling of it. They said Milley took extraordinary action and called a secret meeting in his Pentagon office on January the 8th. To review the process for military action, including launching nuclear weapons, speaking to senior military officials, those that hadn't yet been purged during the Obama regime, no doubt. I put that in there, folks. In charge of the National Military Command Center, the Pentagon's war room, General Ho Chi Minh, and yeah, I put that back in there too, instructed them not to take orders from anyone and demanded that his Defense Department subordinates refuse to obey any order by Trump without his approval and presence. Said the book's authors, quoting the traitor, no matter what you are told, you do the procedure, you do the process, and I'm part of that procedure, said Milley, unconstitutionally, they noted, before going around the room and looking each officer in the eye, asking them to verbally confirm they understood, unquote. Added the authors, Milley considered it an oath, unquote. And that tells you a whole lot, folks. The guy doesn't evidently give a damn about his oath to the Constitution, but he certainly cares about holding those who are directly reporting to him responsible for an oath before God alone knows who to violate their other oath. Wrote Will Chamberlain about this unabashed treason. The amazing thing is how Milley apparently bragged about violating his oath and stepping outside the chains of command to thwart his superior. And by that I think he means the fellow who was actually elected to be commander-in-chief. And just about everybody with half a brain who's weighed in on this can recognize treason when it's staring them right in the communist Chinese party face. For example, wrote Sean Davis, in addition to being an incompetent woke buffoon, Mike is apparently also a traitor, and all I can add to that is, duh. Said Stephen L. Miller, Milley needs to go, no excuses. Inez Stepman even wrote, I know we're supposed to all be worried about how crazy Trump was in this story, but this, if true, is legit treason. Why, it was so bad, folks, that even the truly sleazy Colonel Alexander Vindman, military official who also broke the chain of command in order to spark Trump's first impeachment crisis, also called for Milley to resign if Woodward's book is accurate. Quote, "If this is true, General Milley must resign. He usurped civilian authority, broke chain of command, and violated the sacrosanct principle of civilian control over the military. It's an extremely dangerous precedent. You can't simply walk away from that," unquote, he tweeted on Tuesday. President Trump himself weighed in later in the evening saying, quote, "If the story of dumbass General Mark Milley," and I think he's being way too kind, "is true, then I assume he would be tried for treason, in that he would have been dealing with his communist Chinese counterpart behind the president's back and telling China that he would be giving them notification," quote, "of an attack," wrote Trump in a statement. He also said that the good news is that the story is fake news concocted by a weak and ineffective general together with two authors who I refuse to give an interview to because they write fiction, not fact. Actions should be taken immediately against Milley, and better generals in our military, of which we have many, should get involved so that another Afghanistan disaster never happens again. And for the record, he added, I never even thought of attacking China, and China knows that, unquote. I'll wrap up at least this part of the treason review for today with a couple of comments from Jack Posobiec, who tweeted that these shocking and extraordinary claims made in peril at the very least warrant a congressional investigation over Milley's deliberate undermining of national security by forewarning a foreign enemy of military action and preventing a sitting president from exercising his full war powers as enumerated in the Constitution. Arrest General Milley. And you know what, folks? It's been hours. And quite frankly, the real news here is that that hasn't happened yet. And that, too, speaks volumes. And, oh yeah, far better generals have resigned over far less. From there, let's talk about another aspect of the continuing treason. This one should have been obvious a long time ago. I suspect it really was, folks. And some people at least still went through the motions. Let me introduce the story with this question. Have you ever known a communist regime to have a recall election and actually kick themselves out? Headlines in the alternative press said things like Californians opt to continue the decline. Some of us suggest they didn't really have any choice. Now, did they? Communist dictator Gavin Newsom will remain the Golden State's communist dictator. Who could have thought it? Oops, I'm sorry. I hope you were sitting down. When the fake news Associated Press called the election for the communist dictator, the no's had it, and they were leaving with 67% of the vote. There were, of course, some people who pointed out that if you were duped enough to accept the results of the November 2020 election, you'd probably drink the Kool-Aid on this one, too. Jim Hoff, though, for the Gateway Pundit, has a headline that says, last night on CNN, you were able, if you were fast enough, to watch 350,000 yes votes disappear in an instant during live coverage of the recall Newsom election in California. The fact that it happened over and over again during the 2020 presidential election was just a coincidence, obviously.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
And oh yeah, as another story in the same source points out, don't pay any attention to the fact that you could take some of those ballot envelopes containing marked ballots, shine a light on them, and look right through the supposedly confidential liner and see what was enclosed before you decided whether or not to count them. So given that we've watched the continuing effort to cover up the fraud since November of last year, I simply have to ask a question here. Does anybody really believe that there was any way in a nation that has forgotten the rule of law that an election run by the communists in California had any chance whatsoever of turning out differently? The only vote that really made any difference in California, and it should be happening nationwide today, is no confidence in the whole fetid, stinking system. Color those with eyes to see, skeptical, to put it mildly. Which leads me to this disgusting bit of hypocrisy from the reinstated communist governor and tyrant in California, who wasted no time before patting himself on the back for his perfidy. And listen to this incredible bit of hubris. Not to mention a whole bunch of whoppers. Newsom certainly didn't want to focus on a rigged election. No, instead he wanted to focus on
what we said yes to as a state. We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you catch that? We said yes to science. Well, I guess it's the science of rigging an election and then selling it to people so that they just go along like dumbed-down little sheep with whatever it is you want to ram down their throats or into their bloodstream, like the poison poke. And in this long list that he proceeded to go through, he left out some of the most important ones, like, we said yes to voter fraud. Oh, we said yes to communism. And we said yes to medical tyranny.
We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic.
But no, of course, the medical tyranny isn't about to end or even slow down. You ready for your booster shot yet, California?
We said yes to people's right to vote without fear of fake fraud or voter suppression.
Or even having to fear that the votes might actually be honestly counted.
We said yes to women's fundamental constitutional right to decide for herself what she does with her body.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What a crock of you-know-what, folks. Her fundamental right to decide what to do with her body? Well, unless she, of course, doesn't want to be groped at an airport or x-rayed and have the pictures put up or wants to say no to a poison poke, she has no choice whatsoever when it comes to what we want to do to her body, mind you. And as a peon, she certainly can't be allowed to defend it with a firearm now either.
We said yes to women's fundamental constitutional right to decide for herself what she does with her body. We said yes to diversity. We said yes to inclusion. We said yes to pluralism.
Oh, yeah. We said yes to everything that good people, honest people, people that have read the Bill of Rights or understand what the nation was once founded upon, are leaving the state in droves for. From there, as we start to wrap up this first segment, I'm just going to go through a few headlines from midweek. For example, lawmakers, says a piece from the Epoch Times, have now gotten together and unveiled a bipartisan bill to freeze funding for gain-of-function research. Say what? Oh, yeah. Just in time, right? Now that the horse is out of the barn and people are taking the poke by the tens or hundreds of millions worldwide and literally are dead men walking, we're going to make sure that whatever this was can't happen again. Although, of course, we're going to keep forcing you to take the booster shots along with that Mark of the Beast thing we've been working on for so long. Here's at least a bit of good news, courtesy of the Daily Mail, about a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel who has resigned and given up his pension as well after more than 19 years of service because he refuses to go along with the Biden Führer's, quote, unethical, immoral, and tyrannical vaccine mandate. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig's resignation letter has been shared nearly 10,000 times, hopefully it'll go around a whole lot more after this, since his wife tweeted the memo and announced that the Army vet is, quote, walking away from all he's worked for and believed in since he was a ROTC kid. The letter begins by saying that Lieutenant Colonel Haig is tendering his unqualified resignation from the Army, citing various legal provisions, followed by his reasons why. First and foremost, he wrote, I am incapable of subjecting myself to the unlawful, unethical, immoral, and tyrannical order to sit still and allow a serum to be injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment. And he points out what most of us have known for quite a while. It's impossible for this so-called vaccine to have been adequately studied to determine long-term effects. It simply has not existed for enough time, and any claim otherwise is blatantly ignorant and an outright lie, driven by a negligent political agenda. Furthermore, he continued, ample studies show that naturally derived immunity based on exposure to the virus offers far superior protection than the mandated so-called vaccine. And secondly, he continued, I cannot and will not contribute to the fall of this great nation and its people, those very Americans whom I swore to protect the liberty of at all cost. The values that our nation was founded on, has lived by and thrived under, have been utterly decimated by the current presidential administration and the leadership of the military, to include the Army. We're watching the fall of liberty, he said at this moment, with governors and mayors forcibly locking down millions of Americans, restricting them from their unalienable right to pursue happiness, forcing them out of their jobs and their ability to participate in the most basic and fundamental rights life offers because of their personal beliefs and values. These are the same values that we service members offer our very lives to protect, and now we're being used as tools to boost the numbers of vaccinated people in order to further distance and alienate those who, knowing the personal risk of the disease, have freely decided to remain unvaccinated. I cannot and will not be used as a tool against them. They're my daughters, my son, my siblings, and my friends. These are the Americans that deserve my support and love. He's absolutely right, folks, and it's good to know that there still are people in the military who know what's worth fighting and even dying for. But wait a minute. Yeah, you know what I'm thinking, don't you? He's going to have to fight somewhere else because of what's being done by the evil traitors to the good people that were, until now, still left. We'll pick it up there right after the bottom of the hour break.
Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, how do you
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I am your host, Mark Hall, and we're talking about one of those weeks where literally everything just points in the same direction. A nation gone mad, certainly deserving of judgment, incredibly self-destructive, and obviously working very hard to commit one of the greatest acts of genocide in human history, not to mention treason. So appropriately, perhaps, let's start this one off with a look back at the early part of the week. With an interesting and probably a bit unusual story, and that is that senile, creepy, quid pro Joe Biden, the Biden Fuhrer himself, is now drawing the biggest crowds of his fake presidency. Trouble is, at least so far as the Bolshevik usurper regime is concerned, they're not there in support. As a matter of fact, they're screaming something that seems to be a phrase that has taken the nation by storm. It started a couple weeks ago at various college football games, then more and more college football games over last weekend. Today it's gone, well, mainstream might not be the best way to put it. Certainly, though, a lot of people know the meaning. So let's set it up with some background. This is from a sports-related program called Black and White Sports, and first it features a black commentator who says,
"And we're going to be talking about the most popular president in American history, the man that got over 81 million votes."
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, to his credit, he was being sarcastic, of course.
And I'm talking about Mr. Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been a very, very naughty boy. A very, very naughty boy. And people are rejecting him. The whole Afghanistan thing, he is getting crushed. Even by people on the left.
And yeah, he knows they could be talking about politics.
But this is definitely sports related, folks. Because we have seen the F Joe Biden chants out there in sports, and it is growing by the day. Now, this past weekend, 9/11 weekend, tributes out there. I was in the Navy when 9/11 happened. The United States was completely united behind that. Now we're pretty divided. We're a divided country. And even when it comes to sports, see, the left brought politics into sports, and now, folks, the fans are reacting back.
And he's right. False flag or not, people are now seeing through what's been going on, and they don't like it one bit.
Check this out. F Joe Biden chants are taking over college football, spreading to baseball. And the baseball part of it, folks, is in New York. The Yankees, the Mets. You know, New York is a very liberal state. And New York City is a very liberal city. The fans are rejecting Joe Biden.
Whereupon he reads the story that says fans from Alabama to Mississippi, and of course, as mentioned, in New York City even, are picking up on the new nationwide chant, F Joe Biden. And it spread from college football now to baseball, even in the Subway Series in New York at the Mets-Yankees game. Here's a bit of the coverage on the same subject, courtesy of WhatFinger.com and their general dispatch.
Not only are we seeing the trend continue, but it's growing. It's happening at more and more football games. It's also continuing to happen at the same stadiums, week two, except this time, it's bigger than ever, and in two cases specifically, it sounds almost like the entire stadium is chanting F Joe Biden.
Joe Biden!
Yes, says that commentator, we're talking about thousands of people who've obviously had more than enough of the masked wannabe dictator. In other words, of a Fourth Reich run amok in America. So while basketball and the NFL may have started it with the politicization of sports nationwide, against a far more popular but actually elected president that they hated with a passion, now it's gone in a different direction. New Yorkers marching across Brooklyn Bridge didn't like the Biden Führer's attempt at all to force them to take the Zyklon B poison poke. And if you can't make that out, it's just fine. I'd have had to bleep it anyway. Although the rest of the recording is, unfortunately, a lot clearer, so I can't use it. So, by the way, are the videos, because their signs make their intentions pretty clear, too. But Biden even had his biggest crowds in Southern California for the same reasons, and they were chanting the same thing, among other admonitions to the diaper-faced one. Students who don't care for the sound of marching jackboots lined up outside of Long Beach City College, says the Gateway Pundit's coverage, where America's tyrant was campaigning with California's communist tyrant on the eve of their rigged recall election. More on that in just a second. Before which, Idaho had welcomed dementia's genuine poster boy with more of the same, you know what, signs. As more than 1,000 obviously not Dementia Joe Biden fans lined up outside Long Beach City College carrying their F. Biden signs, the election-thieving Führer spoke to a paltry crowd inside the auditorium, where America's pervert in chief took off his mask just long enough to whine out this.
I could go on, but here's the deal. I'm going to make this as simple as I can.
And he has to, of course, because neither he nor the handful of assembled morons could understand it otherwise.
I'm going to make this as simple as I can. You either keep Gavin Newsom as your governor, or you'll get Donald Trump. It's not a joke.
No, a senile puppet playing fake president is the joke. And guess what? The joke's on America, and especially communist California. And that was all of the speech from the dementia dictator that I intended originally to play. But the masked kitty groper went on to describe the horrors that might happen if Larry Elder, a Republican and constitutional conservative, who just happens to be black, by the way, who in an honest election would almost certainly replace their communist dictator, was actually allowed to win. And listen to this lying mischaracterization and ponder the unbelievable level of irony. Because none of the handful of people listening to this idiot were able to figure it out for themselves.
Who doesn't believe in choice.
Whoa, did he really just come right out and say that? The guy who doesn't believe that you have a choice about whether or not to travel, whether or not to keep and bear arms, whether or not even to be allowed the choice to speak? And certainly not the choice to say no to his poison poke that invades your body, your choice, whether you like it or not, and makes a mockery of the Fourth Amendment's promise that you have the right to be free in your persons, no you don't, from unlawful search and injection. Even by this guy's disgusting scales, this is probably one of the biggest whoppers ever spoken, folks, by a world dictator.
Who doesn't believe in choice. The choice should be absolutely clear.
Yeah, it should, which is why you're absolutely not going to be allowed to make it. And just to bring that point home, in addition to the volumes of other information belatedly coming out nationwide about everything from crooked electronic voting machines and, more importantly, the counting of the crooked electronic votes, to stuff ballot boxes and lots of illegal, dead, or moved away people and so on, still voting, especially in California, we've got this, courtesy of Joe Hoft and the Gateway Pundit, about how the young American veteran, Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed by the deep state executioner operative, who obviously doesn't understand elementary gun handling, given all the videos we've seen of Mike Bird since then. Anyway, no less than 3 California ballots for the recall election have been mailed to the late Ashley Babbitt's address, including 1 for her, deceased, and I guess she'll vote Democrat this time around, and 2 other people who don't live there. Which is not only arguably insulting, but begs an obvious question. Just how many ballots have been mailed to the residences of live leftists, illegal or not? Oh, here's one more quick related story on the voter fraud front. California Republicans were shocked, I tell you, to discover that they've already voted in the recall election for their communist governor. And this time, says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, it's residents of San Fernando Valley, California, who were shocked to find that after they showed up to vote in the state's gubernatorial recall election, they were told by polling station workers, oh, you've already voted. An 88-year-old Estelle Bender, actually still alive, but she's a Republican, said she wasn't the only person so told incorrectly that they'd already voted. Said Bender, the man standing next to me, was arguing the very same thing. She was given a provisional ballot, which will no doubt be changed anyway, and then she left feeling, quote, really angry. She told KTLA, I'd still like to know how I voted.
unquote. And hey, take a guess, Estelle. From there, let's go on to a bit of a headline review about tyranny on the jackbooted march, starting with a piece courtesy of Natural News, but literally out of Great Britain, where TheRegister.com reports that a hack of the British gun registry site shows why it would be a really stupid idea to allow that kind of tyranny against the subjects of the crown to spread back here. Says the original story, the names and home addresses of 111,000, who'd have thought there were that many, British firearm owners have been dumped online as a Google Earth-compatible CSV file that pinpoints domestic homes as likely firearm storage locations. And that's a worst-case scenario, it says, for victims of the breach. As an exercise in amplifying a data theft to levels that endanger public safety, and that's arguably, again putting it mildly, the latest evolution on the Gun Trader database break-in is likely to become an InfoSec case study in how security breaches can become worse over time as stolen information is put to ever more intrusive and, if they were here, folks, and we still had one, unconstitutional uses. Says J.D. Hayes for Natural News, the breach was likely done, they believe, by an animal rights group. Remember that in the UK, the right of these subjects to bear arms for protection from criminals as well as from the government and their overreach was never actually recognized as unalienable. And now even the concept of guns that might have been used for hunting are in danger of being stolen. And the outlet, says the story here, goes on to note that guns are attractive to criminals. And, of course, those are the ones that want to make sure they know where they are and that you peons can't have them for obvious reasons. And while police, at least once upon a time, warn the licensed firearm holders, a.k.a. slaves, to protect their privacy, yeah, sure, that doesn't do much good, notes just about everybody with half a brain, when gun owner databases are hacked and then put online. And even if they're not hacked, folks, Big Brother and their three-letter agencies still know who you are and where you are. Which, of course, is why Adolf and his current acolytes are so fond of them. From the Washington Times, in what was called the latest snag in the Biden regime's attempt to bring lots of terrorists over here, and the hell with your health in the process, Pentagon officials, says the Mike Glenn piece, are trying to reassure residents at two Army bases that they're dealing strongly, oh yeah, trust us, with a pair of measles outbreaks tied to newly arrived Afghan terrorists, or refugees. It was, they say, the latest snag in the Biden regime's troubled effort to extricate the U.S. from America's 20-year-old war in Afghanistan. And how's that for a whopper? They're not trying to extricate the U.S. from anything, folks. They're trying to clamp down the screws and overturn what's left of the country. On Monday, DOD officials confirmed that at least one each Afghan refugee sick at Fort Pickett in Virginia and Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, had been diagnosed with measles. But we're taking it very seriously, said Chief Pentagon spokeslayer John Kirby. Yeah, what does that mean? We're going to do contact tracing. And guess what? Whether you like it or not, that mark of the beast is coming to you door to door. And speaking of the mark of the beast, let's do our Booga Booga Flu and COVID-1984, a.k.a. Zyklon B injection update, too. The CDC did another data dump into their Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS, database over the weekend, said Nexus News feed. As of August 27th, there have been 13,911 official deaths, 2.93 million injury symptoms, almost 19,100 permanent disabilities, 76,000-plus ER visits, almost 57,000 hospitalizations, and 14,300-plus life-threatening events recorded following the experimental guinea pig injections of the not vaccine into dumbed-down, duped Americans. And now there have been more than twice as many as all deaths combined up until the great God medicine replaced the real thing. Recorded for the COVID-19 poke during the past 9 months since the COVID-19 shots bypassed animal testing and any long-term testing whatsoever and were given so-called emergency use authorization, in spite of the fact that it really isn't and never was an emergency, and there have been more deaths recorded now than by all vaccines combined during the past 30 years combined. Oh, and let's not forget this, too. Says the headline, teens injected with the Zyklon B COVID poke have had 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disabilities, and 44 times more hospitalizations than all other previously FDA-approved sick vaccines prior to this fateful year. And finally, there's this. It could never have happened back when we actually had medical doctors that knew better than to experiment on pregnant women. There have been 1,490 fetal deaths, notice the terminology there, following the COVID-19 poison poke of pregnant women. Who needs a morning after pill, right, when you've got the Zyklon B poke? So what does Big Brother want to do? Oh, yeah, bend over, folks, and take it, because they're coming to you marching in jackboots with needles raised high. We've got a hot mic moment from Israel that kind of makes the same point, courtesy of both Zero Hedge and Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit, unaware that his words were being broadcast live to the nation on Israeli Channel 12. Israeli Health Minister Nitzan Horowitz told Interior Minister Ayelet Shaked that the tyrannical requirement called the Green Pass needs to have its scope expanded, but also, quote, for swimming pools too, and not just in restaurants. And the admission? The point of all of this tyranny is to pressure the unvaccinated peons to get vaccinated. Quote, epidemiologically, said Horowitz, it's true. The thing is, I'm telling you, our problem is people who don't get vaccinated. We need to influence them a bit. Otherwise, we won't get out of this. Now, the implication, so say the reporters, is that they were talking about the plandemic situation. Some of us suggest maybe they're worried about their very lives if the people figure out what they've been doing to them. After which, Horowitz even acknowledges that the system isn't being enforced anyway. Again, it's only intended to pressure the unvaccinated to take the poke. From there, let's go to some really important comments from journalist, and I mean actual journalist, Laura Logan, appearing on Tucker Carlson, who tells us of yet another way the Biden regime has been breaking the law to advance their tyranny, this time telling OSHA to hide information from dumbed-down Americans about the obvious, increasing, and downright deadly side effects of the COVID-1984 or Zyklon B poke.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, was established in the 1970s to inspect workplaces and establish standards to prevent industrial accidents. But starting this summer, the Biden administration gave OSHA a new role. Joe Biden told OSHA to start hiding information from the public to promote the COVID vaccine. Until this summer, OSHA required employers to retain records of any worker who suffered a serious side effect from the vaccine.
Oh, now wait a second. She doesn't tell you, but remember, once upon a time, OSHA would have stepped right in if employers had tried to mandate people wear oxygen-depriving, carbon dioxide-increasing masks without mitigating the effects, limiting the time or whatever they once did when people had to wear masks, for example, in paint-filled, poisonous, or dusty environments. But at least when it comes to dust, masks actually might be able to filter that out, because that's a clear violation of the right to be able to breathe while you're trying to work. But hey, that's just one of the many rights that no longer apply to dumbed-down Americans.
Then in June, OSHA's guidance suddenly changed to this, quote, OSHA will not enforce federal recording requirements that require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination. That was a major change, especially since we're still learning so much about these vaccines and their possible side effects.
But it's not like, at this point, the reasons are pretty blankety-blank and obvious, now, is it?
Just hours ago, for example, the Telegraph in Britain reported that, quote, teenage boys are 6 times more likely to suffer from heart problems from the vaccine than be hospitalized from COVID-19. And in Israel, where more than 80% of adults are vaccinated, COVID cases are spiking. Israel now has one of the world's highest daily infection rates. So what explains that? In his remarks to the nation, Joe Biden didn't answer that. Instead, he put OSHA, the same agency that's been hiding evidence of vaccine side effects, in charge of forcing millions of Americans to take the COVID vaccine. Joe Biden didn't even bother to ask Congress. He said the new mandate is justified because COVID is a, quote, emergency. Then he walked away without taking questions once again.
Before we change gears, one more story from the perfidy front. Although the fact that these lies continue to be revealed is a really big deal. In occupied communist-controlled Detroit, a TV station asked for stories about unvaxxed people who were dying, I tell you, from COVID-1984. But it didn't turn out quite like they planned. The corporate media narrative says Brian Shalhavy, editor of Health Impact News, that unvaccinated people are filling up the hospitals and dying from the booga booga flu is quickly falling apart, maybe even faster than they expected. WXYZ TV, Channel 7 in Detroit, asked their viewers on their two Facebook page last Friday to direct message them if they'd ever lost a loved one due to COVID-19 after their refusal to take the poke. Which, says the author, might be a clear indication they're getting desperate to find these stories and having a tough time of it. And what followed didn't seem to be the narrative they wanted to push. I don't know if they actually got any such stories, says Brian, but their post on their Facebook page at the time of publication, dated 15 September, indicated they received over 182,000 comments, and the vast majority, if not all of them, seem to be comments about those who have lost loved ones, no, not because of COVID-1984 among the unvaccinated, but people who took the poke and then died, with a whole lot of commenters asking why they're not covering that story. Says Shalhavy, I paged through dozens and dozens of the comments and didn't see a single one stating that they lost someone due to COVID after refusing the poke. People who've been silenced and censored on Facebook and other big tech platforms, though, took advantage of the opportunity to share their stories instead. It's amazing, he says, that Facebook even left these up for as long as they did, but maybe it got to the point where there were so many comments it would have been an even bigger story had they taken them down and censored them. I wonder, he says, what will WXYZ do now? Well, they do what almost all the corporate media shill companies do, fueled by unlimited resources from their billionaire Wall Street owners with the connections to Big Pharma and Big Brother and big public-private partners, and simply go out and hire actors instead to do the stories and make them up. Anyway, he listed page after page after page of the stories before somebody maybe decides to take them down. Comments like this one from Adam Lee Marcus. I know people who died painfully from the vaccine. Want those stories? Carmen Marie wrote, no, all of us are fine, but we almost lost one of my vaccinated family members. Another, Kirsten Witt, writes, I know someone who was fully vaccinated. They always wore their mask. They were recently in the ICU and didn't make it. Katie Giroudi writes, a friend of a parent went into cardiac arrest almost immediately after receiving the second poke. They were unable to revive her. I know someone who lost a limb, too, due to a blood clot and circulation issue after being fully vaccinated. Commenter Lindsay Partridge wrote, it's about 4 weeks after the second shot for me. I have chest pain all the time. I'm terrified I'm going to drop dead of a heart attack, especially after reading the comments here. I've gone for an echocardiogram and have blood work later today to try to figure out my heart. I'm a very healthy professional athlete and registered nurse, 35 years old. I had Moderna times two. Shauna Kirk wrote, we lost 10 vaccinated friends and family members over the past 2 weeks. Five of those were police officers and firefighters. Noel O'Foster wrote, my dad flatlined after his second dose of Moderna. And finally, Spike Cohen, obviously having read a few of these, noted, this wasn't the response you expected, I suspect. There are some other things going on as well that certainly bear taking a look at, like this piece from the Epoch Times and Daniel Kmelev, that an overheating incident in the world's biggest grid battery in, where else, the People's Republic of California, failed on September 4th and forced three-quarters of the station to power down until further notice. South of San Francisco, it's the largest of its kind. Moss Landing Energy Storage Facility recently grew from 300 to 400 megawatts with the ability to power the grid for up to 4 hours. But after a limited number of modules reached operationally unsafe temperatures on September the 4th, safety mechanisms triggered sprinklers that targeted the affected modules and resulted in the facility's primary 300-megawatt section to be shut down entirely. And this overheating, it says, came as the state experienced a sweltering 100-degree Fahrenheit heat wave day over Labor Day weekend. And the North County Fire Protection District of Monterey County was called to the scene as a precaution, but thankfully no injuries were sustained. And if you understand anything, folks, about the various technologies employed in some of these high-energy density battery packs, like the continuing problem of Tesla spontaneously combusting and burning everything down within a car length or so radius, you might have a clue why some of these technologies aren't exactly as safe as they're propagandized to be, especially outside of closely temperature-controlled environments. Says the story, this was graphically illustrated last month in Australia after firefighters were unable to control a fire at that country's largest grid battery, which burned for close to 4 days. The Victoria Big Battery in Mirabool near Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, burned on July 30th, 2021, and local fire authorities said at the time that the nature of the fire meant it was extremely difficult to extinguish using conventional methods. Quote, they're difficult to fight because you can't put water on the megapacks. All that does is extend the length of time that the fire burns for, said the spokesperson. The recommended process is to cool everything around it so the fire can't spread, and you just have to let it burn out. And somehow, folks, there seem to be several appropriate morals in that story.